Second from the New Testament, from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 1 through 12. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard in the high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a day of fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to lose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruin shall be rebuilt, and you shall rise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. From the book of Matthew 5:13-16. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven.
I love Isaiah. I just love the prophets. And of course, as challenging as Jesus is, I love him too. I'm constantly amazed that even as ancient as the words of Scripture are, they still have power for us today. The readings that we just read are the lectionary readings for this Sunday, the fifth Sunday of Epiphany. So that means that these are suggested readings that Christians all over the world are reading today. In the lectionary, there's usually a reading from the Hebrew Scriptures, which is the Old Testament, the Psalms. There's usually a gospel reading and a second reading in the New Testament. Now, some churches read all four readings in one service, and some of us choose to read one or two, and other times we don't use the lectionary at all. I certainly don't always preach from the lectionary because we have so many of these special Sundays, like next Sunday coming up with Love Sunday and the Sunday after that with Evolution Sunday. But Every time I preach from the lectionary, I find myself astounded at how relevant the readings are for that day and that moment. It's almost like they were written for us. Have any of you ever had the experience of feeling like you needed comfort or wisdom, so you turned to Scripture and you opened your Bible to what seemed like just a random page, and you felt like the words that you were reading were written for you? Isn't it amazing? Scripture manages to speak truth that bears weight on our lives today, thousands and thousands of years after it's being written. So when I looked at this week's scripture, I laughed out loud. Wow, I thought, God, you're really not going to let me off the hook, are you? Can't I just preach something easy? I mean, I'm overwhelmed, I'm tired, I'm stretched thin, I'm going on leave for sabbatical, my dog was dying, I was rushing around trying to get packed, super excited about Cindy's baby, but also settling into this transition time without her, and our plan with Mallory has been super stressful, so I could really use an easy sermon this week. But then I open up the readings, and it's almost as though God says, "You got work to do, girl. Preach my word." And it's true. Now, I know I'm not the only one exhausted. I'm not the only one who is sleepless and worried and trying to balance the usual tension of life. And then with this additional worry that continues to eat at us day after day as we read the news, I know I'm not the only one who needs a break. We're all suffering from emotional fatigue at some level or another. So yeah, I would have liked to have preached a different scripture today. Perhaps one with a little less punch, one with a little less power, one with a little less relevancy for our world today. One with a little less challenge. But God's got me on the hook. Preach my word. Fortunately, in this situation, Isaiah does it himself. So your challenge today, folks, is to go home and read that over again. I know you heard it when Alonso said it, but you need to go home, pick out that Bible, dust it off, and read Isaiah 58. See, when I read it, I can see why some people really do believe that this is the era that the scripture was written for. Because listen to this. Shout out. Do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion. Whoa. If that is not a take to the streets rally cry, I do not know what is. Trumpet, bullhorn, are you with me here? It's almost as if God is revealing the word to us right when we need to hear it most. But right when we're ready to push pause, literally as I'm about to do. To take a break, to escape from reality, to get out of the mess because we just can't take it anymore. And then we get scripture like these, and we are reminded once again that we cannot serve our own interest and actively or passively participate in the oppression of others. We cannot claim our faith and not live our faith. We can't just go through the motions, mouthing the prayers, gripping the book, wearing the cross. We actually have to live it. We have to carry the cross. It's more than fine jewelry. It's heavy. Much heavier than fine jewelry. I think that's one of the things that God hates the most, hypocrites. Certainly Jesus does. He talks about it a lot. Don't put on your robes and pray loudly while you fail to love your neighbor. Don't tell me you love me because when I was naked, you failed to clothe me. When I was hungry, you didn't give me anything to eat. What you do to the least of these, you do to me. And you have been given a light. And if you refuse to shine that light, what good are you? Isaiah calls it out. Look. You serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. There is nothing worse than a self-righteous person who isn't actually doing the work of God. Is such the fast I choose? A day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this day a fast acceptable to the Lord? Is this what God wants? Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. See, God doesn't really want a day to humble oneself and bow down ritualistically. Let me put this in 21st century terms. It's not about Sunday worship services or Saturday night mass or the hip worship rock bands, which is no offense to our rock band, which is just getting better by the day. And it doesn't mean that it doesn't value to gathering, especially our gathering. There certainly is. But the fast that God chooses is not that simple. Unfortunately, it requires harder work than that. There isn't necessarily immediate gratification, and we all know there's not necessarily going to be respect from others. It's difficult and it's challenging. It's not an act of singing praises or grandiose prayers. This fast that God wants, or this act of devotion to God, is so very clearly spelled out here in Isaiah: to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke, to share your bread with the hungry, and bring the homeless poor into your house when you see the naked, to cover them. Now, this isn't the most popular of messages today. See, God's message is not a wait-and-see message. Sit back and see how things go. Then you can open your home. Then you can let the oppressed go free. It's not a tempered message. It's not even a just focus on yourself for a while. Ignore what's going on in the world kind of message. As much as we all might want that or maybe even need it, says the woman embarking on sabbatical. T-minus 4 hours. It's a strong message about how we are to live and how we are to serve our God. Now, let me just say that God does not want us to do this work to the detriment of ourselves. But Jesus' message of love your neighbor as yourself is an extension of what we see here in Isaiah. We must learn to love ourselves, and in loving ourselves, we thus also love our neighbor. And here's why: because we recognize our interconnection. So an injustice to our neighbor becomes an injustice to ourselves. We aren't self-sacrificing just for the sake of sacrifice. It's because we feel the pain of the oppressed as if it were our pain. We hunger alongside the hungry. This is a radical request, I know. It's difficult, and it's not always easy to hear. I guess what's easier is, maybe for you and for me, to feel depleted. Like the ask is just so big. But I truly believe that if we recognize that we are interconnected, that I depend on you and you depend on me, we have an interdependence that becomes less about helping the other and more about a realization that our own liberation is dependent upon our brothers and sisters. And therefore, working for God's kingdom isn't just about helping the oppressed. It's really and truly about manifesting God's kingdom. And all of us will be liberated. Thus, we must work for ourselves because we are just us. It's just us. Millions and millions of us. It's not us and them. Serving God means working so that the kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. Now, parenthetically, I want to note, not just because I'm heading out on sabbatical, but because I know that many of us are weary, that we do need to take time and care for ourselves, to take time to breathe and to experience joy, even in the midst of our struggles, because we know that the cross is heavy. Certainly, we must replenish ourselves and fill our cup up once again so that we can have the courage and the strength to answer Isaiah's call, to listen to Jesus and serve God by serving one another. That's why I think it's so important that we come together as community, because our time here is our time to be replenished. We don't come here for God's sake, as though God was hungry for worship. We come here for God, but not because God wants worship, but because the way we serve God best is by serving God's people, God's creation, and we come here to figure out how. We come here to summon God's power in us so we can answer the call to choose the fast. We come here to be reminded of our faith stories, inspired by the prophets that came before us, and challenged by the man we call the Christ. We come here to get our batteries charged up again so that we, you and me, we can go out into the world and be Jesus' hands and heart and voice. I know it's a tough world out there. That's why we come back here, because this is our sanctuary, because God knows we need to take refuge. There needs to be a place for refugees in this world, and this is our place, in God's sanctuary, where we fill her up. When we come to the table, we wipe our slates clean. We let go of the things that are holding us back. We receive forgiveness for the things for which we are ashamed, guilty, regretful. Here, we breathe back in God's Spirit. And we remember that it's not just here. We can breathe it anywhere. Here, we come to eat our fill of the one bread. And we're reminded to break it and share it with our brothers and sisters. Here, we drink in the blessings. Here, we know that we are the beloved. As we live into God's call, our light begins to shine. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. We are so in need of healing. Like the dawn, we bring light into darkness. We find healing and we bring it to one another and our world. We are the light. Salt and light, says Jesus. I like being salty. You see, salt, it's a change agent. It changes things. It transforms. It's got zing. It's powerful. It's also healing. But it's tough, too. You know what I mean? You don't mess around with a guy who's salty. He's biting, a bit edgy. You know, he doesn't mince words. He calls it like it is. In these tough times, we need to get salty. We need to be fierce. We need to be unafraid of hiding despite how risky or scary or gosh darn tired we are, because there is no more hiding our light. I'm going to say it again. There is no more hiding our light. We have been called to carry it. And carry it we will. We will shine in every dark place to light up the truth and outshine the lie. Like a lighthouse, we'll be the beacon in the night, a refuge from the storm, guiding the way to safety, leading the way home. Yes, we will be the light. It will shine in us and warm us from within, empowering us with its rays of healing love so we can radiate that love out to the rest of the world. Though it's rough out there, we will keep our flame lit, our hearts ignited, our light will shine. Our light will shine. It will shine. It'll shine. It'll shine. We will shine. Amen.